To have waited so long to respond to your letter. I've had it with me almost continuously, intending to write, and it just seems like I get busy, especially during Christmas time and all, and I haven't gotten around to it. Of course, I'm also trusting that you have or can get a cassette tape recorder and play this back. It's so much easier in the work that I'm in now to make a tape to friends and to even in my business rather than writing letters. I'll explain that later, but I do travel considerably in the work I'm in now, and I can make a tape as I'm driving along. So if you hear some roar of a motor in the background, it's my truck or camper as I'm traveling. So many, many, many things come to my mind as I think of the 2+ years that we spent in Temple, New Hampshire. I know I'm not beginning necessarily where you have indicated in your letter, but just the station area itself makes me think, of course, that this is something that I initiated and we first had printed while I was pastor of the church there. Harold Ellison, the retired artist there in town, drew the original of the church in pencil, and of course it was silk screened down, and the design and all of the stationery was my own. I still have the original pencil or ink, I guess it is, ink drawing that Harold made, and have it framed and have it on the wall of my office. Now to begin where you have indicated, I was born in 1935 in Wellington, Kansas, just north of where my folks lived since 1910, my father, on a wheat farm. So I grew up on a farm, helping, of course, in all of the aspects of farm work. Then I was educated in the little town of South Haven through high school, then went away to one of our church-related colleges, the Christian Church's Disciples of Christ College at Phillips University in Enid, Oklahoma. Then after my undergraduate school and 1 year of graduate work at the Phillips Graduate Seminary, I decided I wanted to broaden my seminary education some, so I accepted a scholarship back to Harvard Divinity School and took 1 year of work there from Dr. Buttrick and from Paul Lehman, from Paul Tillich and others on the Harvard staff at that time. Then I accepted a job over near Andover Newton Theological School and began to take some coursework under Dr. John Belinsky in the area of psychology, and also from Dr. Nels Ferrey, and those two men, and especially the area of psychology, interested me so much, I transferred over to Andover Newton and finished my BD degree at Andover Newton and received that degree in 1960. I continued on at Andover Newton in their STM program in the area of psychology and pastoral counseling, and completed that degree the year following. However, I did not receive that degree because of coming back to Oklahoma to serve a pastorate. I did not receive it until I flew back to Boston in 1963. It was during my time at Andover Newton that I through the placement service of Andover Newton, looked into several churches, and accepted a church at Temple, New Hampshire. Just to catch up a bit in terms of personal history, I was married when we came back to the Harvard Divinity School to Lois Jean Van Buskirk, that's spelled V-A-N-B-U-S-K-I-R-K, in 1958, and we had our first child, Joyce, born in May of 1960 when we came to Temple, New Hampshire. Joyce was about a year old. Correction, my daughter was born in 1959, and she was about a year old when we went to Temple. Again, to back up just a bit, I was ordained in 1957 at Wellington, Kansas. This was the same year that I graduated from my undergraduate school at Phillips University. Because I was in the Bible College and had plans for the seminary, my church went ahead and ordained me in 1957. This was I was serving at that time the Wellington First Christian Church as the youth director, and I had served there for 2 years. Now, what pastorates you have had before and since Temple, taking on from my ordination in 1957, the next year I served a small church the first year of seminary at Phillips University at Avard, A-V-A-R-D, Avard, Oklahoma. It was at Avard that I met my wife. Her grandparents were in the congregation that I was serving, and my wife's mother and the four daughters came over one Easter for the services, and I then was invited out to dinner at her grandparents, and that's where we met. I'm sure I'm giving a lot of extraneous material as well. From Avard, then we went back east to serve or to begin seminary at Harvard, my second year of seminary. During that year of seminary at Harvard, I served the Haverhill, Massachusetts Christian Church for just the 1 year. When I went over to Andover Newton then, as I've indicated, I went to the Temple Congregational Church. After leaving Temple, we wanted to move back into the Midwest and a little nearer to grandparents, because our second child was born while we were at Temple over at Peterborough in the hospital. So we accepted a church at Altus, Oklahoma. It's interesting to note that one of the Air Force chaplains at the Altus Air Force Base at that time was Captain Glenn Rogers, who was a nephew of Susie Cutter of the Temple Congregational Church. And it was in knowing Glenn and the other Air Force chaplains there at Altus, Oklahoma, as well as having about half of my congregation either in the military or working at Altus Air Force Base, some of these factors caused me to make the decision to enter the Air Force chaplaincy And so at Altus I applied and was accepted as a chaplain representing the Christian churches, although it was some 3 years later that I came on into the Air Force chaplaincy. I served then two other churches in that time that before being accepted into the Air Force chaplaincy. One at Tulsa, Oklahoma, East Side. Christian church, and a large church of about 1,500 members. I served there as associate minister. Then I went to the Central Christian Church in Enid, Oklahoma, to work with the pastor that I had formerly worked with at Wellington, Kansas, Dr. James Christensen. SEN. Again, as associate minister, working primarily in the areas of education and evangelism, once again in a large church of about 2,300 membership. After only 1 year at Enid, my application did go on through in terms of the Air Force chaplaincy, and I began my military chaplaincy in Alabama at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. And I served there for 2 years as hospital chaplain. Then I went overseas for a 1 year remote tour or separated tour from my wife and family to Southeast Asia, to Tak Li, Thailand, T-A-K-H-L-I, Tak Li, Thailand. And that, of course, on a separated or remote tour, is only a 12-month tour. I came back from the tour in Thailand to serve 3 years as a chaplain at Hamilton Air Force Base, just north of San Francisco, California, about 20 miles. After a very enjoyable 3 year tour there in the San Francisco Bay Area, have come on up to this assignment at Duluth, Minnesota, serving an entirely different kind of ministry to three radar sites. Traveling out from Duluth, Minnesota, up along Lake Superior, about 75 miles to Finland Air Force Station. Traveling 220 miles from Duluth to Baudette, B-A-U-D-E-T-T-E, Baudette Air Force Station at Baudette, Minnesota. And traveling south from Duluth to Osceola, O-S-C-E-O-L-A, Osceola Air Force Station, just over the line in Wisconsin, out about 40 miles from the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis. This is, as I've indicated, a circuit kind of ministry where I go once each week to each of these three sites. Not unlike, I suppose, a circuit of three churches in Maine that I turned down to accept the Temple Congregational Church. Well, I won't go into this kind of ministry more, because that's not a part of your history. Now on, really, to what is the heart of what your letter and history of my ministry there at Temple. I'm sure some of this is going to be sort of jumbled, Jim, and you're going to have to organize it yourself. You talk about anecdotes of the time that you spent there. As I think of people, there are so many things. One of the things I wrote down almost immediately was in this part of the, in that part of the country where antiques are so prevalent, and the restoration of the old homes there in Temple. I'm sure now that I think about it, it must have seemed very strange that this young minister and his wife, fairly recently married and all, had nothing but modern furniture, at least virtually all modern furniture, in our home. Since that time, we have changed our tastes and wish that while we were at Temple, we had looked around and have purchased some of the old furniture, antiques, and refinished them, because we have moved on into more of a classical, and some old pieces of furniture in our home. In fact, we think at the time we were there in the attic of the parsonage, there was a three-legged chair in need of a new seat on it, and also a lovely old couch up there that also needed, of course, new upholstery, which we could have reupholstered and had downstairs in our home, but as I indicated, at that time we were on nothing but a modern trend of furniture. You mentioned interesting things about our life. I suppose that first winter that we spent in New Hampshire with the old oil furnace, prior to the one that should still be in there now, our fuel bill in the month of January was $90, and so we realized how inefficient the old furnace was, plus we couldn't get the temperature some days up over about 60 degrees, that a new furnace was put into the parsonage during the time that we were there. One of the things we enjoyed so much about the parsonage, which we have not had in any home since that time, was the fireplace and a good supply of good dry wood out in the storage shed. We used to build a fire every day during the winter, of course, but I made a grill on legs that we could set in over a bed of charcoal, and we often had some very enjoyable meals cooked in over the fire there in the living room. Each Christmas season, the two Christmases that we spent there in Temple, we had an open house at the parsonage with people coming in during the afternoon, and some of the ladies of the church helping by providing the refreshments. One of the things that comes to mind about the winter time there was going right up to the top of the hill to the Leightons and spending many enjoyable times for tea with Winnie Leighton, as we would sit in her, by her window, and look out over the snowy scenes around and enjoy tea and visiting together, looking at the birds, as she had a bird feeder right outside of the her window, and of course enjoying with her her lovely flowers. And I remember especially her African violets, and of course she gave us several for our own home. I'll move on to your question about the mode of transportation. We had a 1960 Comet, the first year that Mercury or Ford made the Comet, which was, we felt, an economical form of transportation, since the first year I was at Temple, I was commuting down to school 3 days a week, and the second year that I was at Temple, I was commuting down to Andover Newton 2 days each week. Also, the first summer that I was at Temple, I was taking clinical pastoral training at the mental hospital at Concord, New Hampshire. And as I recall, it was 50 miles each way, and I was commuting there each day, so about 100 miles a day, 5 days a week. So you can tell we needed an economical form of transportation. You mentioned significant people in the church at the time of your ministry. I think of one of the accomplishments that we felt we attained during the 2 years that I was pastor of the church was the acquiring of the new organ, which for a congregation of something around 100 participating members, we felt was quite an achievement, as the cost of the organ, including the chimes, ran to around $3,800. But I remember some of the people who were on that committee. I've already mentioned Susie Cutter in the context of knowing her nephew. But Susie and Frank Cutter were both on the committee, as were Mr. and Mrs. Hildebrand, as was also Dr. Elizabeth Harlow, as also was Doris Brown. Ethel Dennis was also on our committee, and I'm sure there may have been others, which I do not recall, which is a bad thing if I'm omitting someone. But that committee perhaps is a part of the church record, I would believe. We achieved the getting of the organ in part through the gifts of people who had been formerly a part of the church, and people who had summer homes in the temple, with some sizable gifts coming from some of those summer residents. And many, many members of the congregation who gave in a very generous manner. I have to say, of course, that music has always been one of the great loves in my life. As, of course, I also have to give great credit to Mrs. Harold Brown, or Doris Brown, who had sung as many solos and the leads in many numbers in the church in New York City, where they were for many years before she came to Temple. And we would go over to her home, and from her books of the Messiah and all, we would have many lovely evenings together of singing some of those numbers. I think also of Betty Wheeler, who did our church bulletins during the time that I was there. She had a mimeograph in her home, and she typed up the bulletin, which I would take out to her each week. Some of those bulletins I have, and I will enclose some of those for you. I remember a rather humorous kind of incident as I think of Betty Wheeler. I suppose as I would drive out to their home to take her the weekly bulletin for her to type up, that I oftentimes dreaded going out there because of a German Shepherd dog that they had. Especially when the dog had pups, that dog did not want to let me come near the house, and I remember a few nipped heels as I was getting from car to the house. During the time that I was pastor of the church, we voted on the merger in the United Church of Christ. And of course, this rather major change in the congregational church was something that took a lot of thought and discussion and a lot of prayer and organization to bring it about. But the meeting that was held, which I'm sure is a part of the records, was a large meeting of the church, and it was an overwhelming decision to go into the United Church of Christ. During that merger, as I recall, Carol Allen was the moderator of the church meetings, and Carol did some very fine work in preparing for the acceptance of our church at Temple into the United Church of Christ. We did have a very fine youth organization, a combined junior high and senior high, with 15 to 25 young people participating in it, and Carol and Eleanor Allen were the youth sponsors, as also the Fetzers helped considerably, and I'm sure others as well. I recall the Halloween the night before our second child, Janice, was born on November the 1st of the year 1960. We sponsored a youth Halloween dance up in the hayloft, part of the barn of the Layton's barn. And I recall that here was Jean, a full 9 months pregnant, getting up to the hayloft of the barn. You had to climb a ladder straight up the last little bit. And Jean participated some in some of our square dancing and all. And at 5 o'clock the next morning, on November the 1st, she was ready to go to the hospital for the birth of our second child. One of the things that impressed me, I must say, when I think back, or when I was at Temple, seemed to be the age of some of the people of the congregation. For instance, during the period of time that I was there, Frank Cutter celebrated his 86th birthday. Arlo Fisk celebrated his 86th birthday, and Mr. Anderson celebrated his 86th birthday. You can't help but think of these people, and also think of some of the long and fruitful lives that they've lived, and also reflect on some things. Frank and Susie Cutter, of course, such wonderful participants in the church. Susie brought flowers so often to the church, and helpful in so many ways. Frank Cutter had cataracts removed from his eyes during the time that I was there. Then Arlo Fisk, of course, always such an active part of the church. He and all of his whole family, of course. And Arlo died during the period of time that I was there in the hospital at Peterborough. Visited him many times and had many conversations with him. Such a wonderful man, and of course one of the large funerals in the church, because he had been there so very long.